Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
We are going to talk apples loaded with flavor and meaning. I mean, we are talking biblical to today. Kids movies, evil witches. We just talked witches. Now we're talking witches and apples. And the making of apple cider in the Cider House rules.
Right now we're using them Early Max and them Gravens things. Cider's way too watery, man. We ain't going to get no good cider till we start picking them Golden Delicious. One of the bananas and russets and Baldwins, you know.
What about worms? Don't the drops have worms?
Well, yeah, they got worms, homie. There ain't nothing but protein, man.
Actor Delroy Lindo speaking with fellow star Tobey Maguire there in the 1999 film The Cider House Rules, which is set in Maine. So look, apples are quintessentially fall. They're peak New England. They're loaded with flavor and meaning. And they're right in season. So join us. What are your favorite varieties? What are your favorite places to pick? Have you gone this year? What did you find? What do you do with apples? Do you bake them, cook them, eat them raw, drink them? It's all on the table. And if you don't like apples, it's okay for you to call too. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And a bunch of you are already tweeting at us too, at Radio Boston. So joining us as our guides, we have Amy Traverso, the senior food editor at Yankee Magazine, author of The Apple Lover's Cookbook, and co-host of Weekends with Yankee on PBS. Hey, Amy, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Great to be here.
We also have Ben Clark, who is a fourth generation apple farmer, owner of Clarkdale Fruit Farm in Deerfield, Massachusetts, president of the Massachusetts Fruit Growers Association. Ben, welcome to you as well.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so we have had this battle going all day already, Ben, because we're going to do a pumpkin segment next week on apples is the fall thing, pumpkins is the fall thing. You're probably biased, but make your case that apple is the fall fruit.
Well, I would say that you know they can share. I mean, obviously we do apples and pumpkins, and they go hand in hand as most people who go to an orchard. You know, there's very few strictly pumpkin patches that you're going to. Mostly you're going to go out to an orchard and pick apples and get the pumpkin while you're there. So we feel they go hand in hand. But I do have a bias, obviously, towards apples. We grow over 60 varieties of apples, and everything from the clip you play, we grow the russets, Roxbury russet, going back to the original first cultivated variety in the U.S. from Roxbury, Mass. In 1635 up until Evercrisp, which is one of the newest varieties available. So we full range, and like you said, I mean, you can do eating, baking, drinking, anything with them.
So are you just wanting to cheer, Amy, as you hear Ben listing all these varieties?
Yes, it makes me so happy. I mean, I love Ben's farm. It's a gorgeous spot with really great quality apples. And yeah, the more and more orchards have been, you know, ripping out their Red Delicious patches and putting in more interesting, whether it's new varieties like Evercrisp, Honeycrisp, and Cosmic Crisp, although I think that's rolling out more slowly, or putting in the antique varieties like Roxbury Russet and Northern Spy. It's just the diversity of apples is really half of the joy of apples. And the more you dive into it, the more that whole world opens up to you and feels very exciting.
Okay, so Ben, two questions at once. One, all these apples called crisps, are they like actually crispier? Is that why they're called crisps? And what's your favorite variety of apple as a fourth generation apple grower?
Well, I can answer both of those in one question. So in one answer. So the one of my favorites currently is Crimson Crisp. Amy referred to Cosmic Crisp, which does get a lot of play out. And it's been a big marketing campaign, and that's only grown in Washington. That's a whole other segment on apple rights and everything. But anyways, that's a whole different thing. But Crimson Crisp, there's a whole series of crisp apples. And like anything, it is about marketing. You know, obviously a Macintosh can sell itself. That's been around for hundreds of years. Everybody knows Macintosh. It's a fine all-purpose apple. But there's, as Amy was saying, there's all these new apples coming along. The next best thing everybody wants to get in on. And so there's been a whole push on, and the name is, you know, Evercrisp is a great name. Honeycrisp, obviously people know. But Crimson Crisp is it's an earlier, apple. But they store well, very crispy, slightly tart, and just amazing eating flavor. And that's what I say is basically people always ask me, what's my favorite apple? It depends on the season, what we're picking, what's fresh. You know, so apple fresh off the tree, as anybody knows who's been apple picking, that's always tastes the best.
So 1-800-423-8255 to join this conversation, whether you got an apple question or an apple suggestion or an apple recipe. Let's have a good time. But before I go to the phones, Amy, I'm going to go to Twitter to at Schoon Carrington, who said, yes, I will be tuning in to take notes on Honeycrisp apple recipes. Let's go. So, Amy, you're up. Honeycrisp apple recipes.
Well, this is a great opportunity. Okay, so here's what I'm going to say about Honeycrisp, because Honeycrisps are very expensive relative to other varieties. So, yes, they actually really do well in any kind of long cooking dish like a pie or crisp where you're baking those apples for like 45 minutes or an hour. Honeycrisps hold up well. They have a great texture. They bring a nice like sweetness and acidity to any dish. However, you're paying more for that pie. I would argue that, and I'd love to hear Ben's thought on this, the Jonagold, to me, which is a much less expensive apple, it's an older variety, has a lot of the advantage, the same like assets of the Honeycrisp in that it holds up well. It's got that sweet tart balance, but it's a lot less expensive. It dates back to the 1950s, and it's just not as fancy as a Honeycrisp. So Honeycrisp in pretty much any dish cooks well, but again, like you're just paying more for that kind of name brand quality of the Honeycrisp.
So I was today years old when I found out that apple is pronounced Jonagold and not Jonagold, which is what I always thought it was. What do you like Honeycrisps in, Ben? And, you know, Ben, I hear you just came off of pressing and bottling cider about 15 minutes ago. So maybe tell us which apple makes the best cider, too.
Sure. So, well, the quick answer on the cider is we do a mix, and we always find similar to, and Amy may agree on some of this, is when you're making a pie, also it's nice to have a mix of Jonagold, and certain varieties are good single variety, but you can also, if you mix a few, like we do a pie mix, which is Northern Spy, Greenings, Cortland, Jonagold, and it really has a nice balanced flavor and more complexity. And the same with our cider is we like to do at least five or six varieties. And just like the clip you played is, the earlier ciders generally are more on the tart side. You have the earlier apples that they are more tart. Once you get into what's called more the dessert apples, which is like the Honeycrisp, basically meant for eating out of hand. You know, that's what we're getting into. Jonagold is a great all-purpose eating, baking cider. And I would agree, just what Amy said was we steer people when they come in and they want to, everybody loves Honeycrisp. They want to make a pie. They say, oh, I want a Honeycrisp pie. You know, the Jonagold, I actually, and a lot of growers would agree that we prefer the flavor of the Jonagold. It's a little more, little more tartness, like a little more balance. It's not just a one note sweet. And it is an excellent all purpose apple. And Amy also, just to do the plug, is she has a great cookbook, the Apple Lovers Cookbook. So,
yes. And Amy, we had you on November of last year to talk about the cookbook. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah, I do, and I'm really grateful to be back.
So go.
Oh, so just quickly, one of the wonders of fall is to go to an apple orchard and pick apples, but then you come home with all these different varieties, and they actually are very different. A Macintosh will cook down into like a sauce very quickly, whereas, you know, a Northern Spy will hold its shape and is really good in pie. So I kind of wrote the book as a guide because we are all exposed to many varieties of apples, many more than any other kind of fruit, and we need to know how to use them. And this book is sort of a guide for that.
All right, we're going to the phones. 1-800-423-8255. Bill's on the line in Newton. Bill, go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for having me on. I have to say, at 69 years of age, with the urging of my wife to get out of the house, I was fortunate enough to have visited about 2 months ago the Honeypot Hills Orchard in Stowe, S-T-O-W, Maine, Stowe, Massachusetts, rather. And it has been the most exciting experience. I was hired as a greeter and an informant and an informative person as far as what apples are, and I know we've heard a lot about what is what and what's not, but I have to make a plug for this orchard, that it is the most fun family experience that can be had between the cider that's been mentioned, of course, and the picking of the PYO, pick your own apples area, which is actually where I host people. And there's hay rides, which are a blast. And we've had a number of thousands of people every weekend, and there's a lot of room, and it's a great place for families and children.
Sounds great.
It really is a joy.
Thank you, Bill. And Ben, I'm sure that's music to your ears to hear Bill talking about people going apple picking. And you know, the modern day apple picking experience, how is it for everyone, and how do we make it for everyone?
Oh, sure. No, it is for everyone. And I would just say that the Martin family that runs Henny Pot Hill are friends of ours. It's a small community of commercial growers in the state. And obviously, Henny Pot is a great spot. There's a number of places around the 495 area around Boston. We're a little further out, obviously, in Deerfield. We're not as packed with folks, but it is a great experience. You can go out, you can just pick apples. A lot of places there are cider donuts. Some people just want to, see animals or do pumpkins or, other things. And most places also have wagon rides out. So if your mobility issues, then they definitely can help you there. So it is a great family activity, especially last year during COVID. We had record numbers all across the state. This year, that has continued with the beautiful weather. So
we are we are talking apple picking here on Radio Boston. You were just listening to Ben Clark, who is the owner of Clarkdale Fruit Farm in Deerfield. We also have Amy Traverso, author of the Apple Lover's Cookbook. And you, the number is 800-423-8255. Shoshana is on the line in Roslindale. Shoshana, go ahead.
Thanks so much for taking my call. I'm a huge fan of your show and the station. I wanted to put a plug for apples being a beautiful way into learning about trees. If you haven't yet read The Botany of Desire, a wonderful book years ago by Michael Pollan, the section on apples is completely eye-opening and amazing. Just remembering that, of course, apples were planted here as cider, not as fruit to eat fresh in the early parts of the colonial history on this continent, and how that has changed. And he also traces the history of the apple to to its indigenous lands in Central Asia, where there were giant apple forests. I also live near the apple collection of the Arnold Arboretum in Roslindale, and I take my son there very, very regularly, and we have friendships with certain apple trees, and they're just a beautiful plant to get to know this area, but also remembering that they're not indigenous here, and so they also tell the story of the landscape changing and learning about botany and natural history.
Thank you, Shoshana. And Amy, I'll come to you there, because some of this you track in the Apple Lover's Cookbook.
Yes. When I started working on the book, I assumed that when the first pilgrims arrived, the shore was probably lined with apple trees. And in fact, only crab apples are native to North America. And the apple really did make its way from Asia through, the Greek and Roman empires and up to Britain. And that's how it made its way to the U.S. Those apples, just as Michael Pollan described and as I describe in the book, grew in these fruit forests. If you imagine the Berkshire Hills, but rather than being covered with birch and, maple trees, covered with fruit trees. And so travelers would pick up the fruit on their way and bring it with them. And apples are very portable. They're also very resilient and very able to interbreed with local crab apple trees. So basically, they can grow almost everywhere. I mean, there's even a variety of apple called Tropic Sweet that was bred at the University of Florida. So in northern Florida, you can grow apples, not so much in the tropics, but apples are just able to thrive in an incredible number of climates. And so that's how they made their way here. And as Ben said, the earliest American apple that we still grow is the Roxbury russet. And when you are eating a Roxbury russet, you are eating a cutting, because of the way we breed apples, we need to basically clone them by grafting branches onto trees. So when you're eating a Roxbury russet, you're really eating a cutting of a cutting of a cutting of a cutting, going way back to that first tree, which I love.
So I want to pick up on trees. As I do, I'm going to acknowledge, Amy, you also talked about colonialism, right? You talked about with everything we talk about, there is a history. There is a history of race. There is a history of colonialism here in the U.S. with most things, at least, that we talk about. There is a history of bias and origination. And we've had conversations on this show before about whether apple picking always feels accessible to families of color and families from urban neighborhoods. And I want to give the nod to all of that in this context. And I'm glad that you brought it up. We also have Shoshana's point about trees. And Ben, one of the things I did want to ask you about, we had a crazy summer. And the weather, it rained hard in July. We had heat. How has that affected the apple crop?
Sure. And actually, just looping back to Shoshana's question with and talking about, you know, the taking your son and having, you know, this history. So being the fourth generation on our farm, we have trees that were planted by my great-grandfather back in the 1920s. And they're trees that we still have, large-size mac trees that were the original tree that I climbed when I was a kid, and now my children, who are 5 and 8, are climbing on. And we have families, you know, like a lot of people going apple picking, anywhere that you go, it's a multi-generational experience. So it's, you know, somebody grew up going there as a kid, now they're taking their kids back, you know, grandkids bringing grandchildren, and it really is a nice memory. And, you know, getting a picture with a lot of places will have a big apple that says Clarkdale, you know, people will have their thing, and you see the kids growing. So it's really nice for us as growers, and the connection to the community is seeing people coming back every year. But anyways, getting back to your question, yes, so we had a dry summer early and then a wet summer. And the thing, fortunately for apples, is, as Amy said, they are very hardy. You know, it is a tree and the fruit is grown off the ground. A lot of things, pumpkins and other things, had a poor year because it was such a wet year and fungus issues. We did deal with some of that with apples, but really it's been a bumper crop for the most part. I mean, we didn't have a frost in the spring, and then the water basically helped the trees grow, so they're really healthy. And then there's a really juicy, you know, wonderful flavor on the fruit this year. So we're still harvesting, and we'll actually be harvesting for another 3 weeks.
All right, Amy, I'm not going to have time to go to Rhiannon in Dedham, but the question, how to apple pick on a budget? What options are available? What varieties do we go for? Where?
That's a really interesting question. I mean, I think that, so picking apples on a budget, you know, you're going to have different price points for different varieties. Ben, I'm not sure, you know, if you wanted to just quickly speak to
I could just say something. One thing I could say, which the state, and you probably have talked in this program before, is for certain people, I don't know what budget exactly, but one thing in terms of accessibility and affordability is, so apples and a lot of orchards are participating in the SNAP program with the state. And actually, there's a HIP matching program, which ourselves and other orchards participate in, where you actually getting free funds for fresh fruit, and apple pick your own apples are eligible. So you actually, in terms of anybody who's in an assistance program, it's a great program.
Okay,
go ahead.
Well, so we're light on time. I appreciate that, Ben. So Amy, I'm going to tweak the question for you. The most versatile an affordable apple, like the one that sits in that Venn diagram?
Well, I want to go back to highlight the Jonagold, because it is a less expensive apple than the Honeycrisps and the newer varieties, but it gives you a lot of the same qualities. And actually, I think, like Ben, tastes a little bit better. If you love Honeycrisp, I would say try a Pink Lady, which is also less expensive. It's been around longer. That's one way you can go. There are orchards that you could access by public transport if you don't have a car. For example, Russell Orchard, you could take the commuter rail and then take an Uber. And there's lots of information about that online. So
Excellent.
You could look for that too.
Excellent. Amy Traverso, senior food editor at Yankee Magazine and author of the Apple Lover's Cookbook. And Ben Clark, owner of Clarkdale Fruit Farm in Deerfield, Massachusetts, and president of the Massachusetts Fruit Growers Association. Amy and Ben, that was fun. Thank you.
Thank you
very much.